Sorry about that. This is Bill recovering from depression. Let me preface my talk with saying that I have two dogs. The door is closed to my bedroom. If they really start barking, you may hear one or two barks, but I will mute it. All right. I think I've been sad my whole life. I don't know when I crossed that imaginary line from sadness to depression, but it doesn't matter when I crossed that line. I know that I did, and I know that I'm in depression, that it's going to be part of my life, and I just need to have the courage to do the next sober thing. I was mentioning to someone before the meeting, they asked how I was doing, and I said that I was feeling a little down, and not deep in the pit, just one step closer to the edge, and they suggested that I just take a small step backwards, and that's what I need to do, is I just need to be aware of my situation, aware of my feelings, aware of my emotions, aware of my mood, aware of my thoughts, and just take a small step backward. The thing is, I don't need to be perfect. I don't need to be good forever. I only need to be good today. I don't need to recover forever. I only need to recover and apply the principles today. Today is all I have. Yesterday is gone. The memories that the past happened, but the memories that I have of the past are occurring right now. So only the present exists. And I can do things differently. I can think different thoughts. I can say different words. I can take different actions, which have the possibility of creating a better future for myself. But the only moment I have is now. When I keep it in the present moment, when I keep it in the right here, right now, life is bearable. I'm not so deep in the pit that I can't do anything. When I stay in the moment, there's always something, even if it's really small, a small something that I can do that can improve my feelings, maybe 1%. But I just need to apply that 1%, and I need to keep doing it and doing it. My depression in many instances, it's kind of like a freighter going across the ocean. Those things do not turn on a dime. They just need, they need to be aware of their position, and they need to just begin turning early. And that's what I need to do, is I need to be aware and in tune with what I'm experiencing. Because when I go on autopilot, I go to dark places. My default is broken. And I need to forgive myself for that. I need to accept that's what my brain does. It's not that I'm inherently evil. It's just there's something flawed in my brain. Whether it's a chemical imbalance, whether it's trauma, small or large, that I experienced in my life, it doesn't matter. What matters is there's a small piece of my depression. It could be 1%. It could be 99%. There's some part of my depression that I'm responsible for. That's what we call saddening ourselves. And we need to apply the principles of the program to have some level of manageability over that part that I sadden myself. And it could be the words that I choose to use. It could be the actions that I choose to take or not to take that affect my mood. And I've learned to forgive myself for my first thought. Because like I said, my first thought is broken. I'm a depressive. I have multiple addictions. That's where my brain goes. But I can't be held responsible for that. But as someone in recovery, I am responsible for my second thought and my first action. What am I choosing to focus on? Am I choosing to try to embrace an attitude of gratitude that I've been blessed? Yes, I have been blessed in many ways. In some ways, I got dealt a crappy hand, but there are still blessings, and I need to be thankful for those. And I need to get out of myself and do things in service to others, whether those others are in recovery or they're just normal civilians. And by when I say normal, I don't mean good. I just mean the most common occurrence. Normal is not a measure of good or bad, not a measure of fixed or broken. It's just a statistical measure. You look at the bell curve, I'm on one of those outer edges of the bell curve. Doesn't mean I'm good or bad. It just means I'm different. But if I choose to focus on those differences, I dig myself deeper in the pit. Because I think the main driver of my depression and addiction is two things. The first is my inherent discomfort with the present moment. I seek to escape. There's something about the present moment that I don't like. So I choose to escape. I think about the past. I think about the future. I take in some drug of choice, whether it's food, alcohol, drugs, television, computer games, sex, you know, anything to get out of the present moment. But that has led me to dark places. And the funny thing that I found is the only refuge for the present moment is the present moment. When I'm fully engaged in the here and now, life is bearable. I can handle what's in front of me right here, right now. Right now, I'm in a room full of friends. Some are strangers. Some are stranger than others. But we're all on a common journey. We're all trying to heal ourselves from depression. And it's connectedness. Being connected, that's the way out of depression. You know, people talk about being lonely and being alone. There's two types of being alone, as I see it. The first is isolation, where I purposely pull myself away from others to protect myself. And there is a short-term payoff from isolation. I have to acknowledge that. The short-term payoff for isolation is I'm not going to get hurt in that moment. But the long-term issue is that there's long-term negative consequences to isolation, to myself and to the people that I love. The other form of being alone is solitude. I'm doing something to enrich myself and to grow. That solitude could be prayer, could be meditation, could be practicing music, but I'm doing it to recharge my batteries and to be a better version of myself. Not a perfect version of myself, a better version of myself. You know, I'm human, I'm flawed, I will make mistakes, and it's up to me to stop making the same mistakes and make new mistakes. Because I will make mistakes. We all will make mistakes. And we need to get over the worry and anxiety that we make mistakes. We just need to focus on, I need to focus on not making the same mistakes and instead to make new ones and to be a better version of myself. It's not about being perfect. And one word that has harmed so many people and is used in completely the wrong way. I'm going to say a word from religious traditions. Don't freak out. I'm going to give the definition in a moment. It's the word sin. Sin is not about eternal damnation. The word comes from archery, either in Aramaic or Hebrew. It means to miss the mark. I didn't hit bullseye. That's all it means. It's not about damnation. I didn't achieve God's ideal. All right, big whoop. Pick up the bow and try again. Try to get closer to what that ideal is. And what ideal am I shooting for? My higher power said it most succinctly, love one another as I have loved you, so you too must love one another. That's it in a nutshell. Everything else from every faith tradition is not that core. It may be close to that core, but it's not the core. Love one another. And part of that is I have to love myself. I need to be gentle with myself. There's a slogan in AA, easy does it. I need to be gentle with myself. But there's a corollary to that. Easy does it, but do it. I still need to take the action. I still need to work the steps. Is working the steps difficult? Yes. It sucks. It sucks looking within and figuring out how I arrived at the place that I'm at. But it's not deadly. It's not going to kill me. And that's the big criteria that I ask myself when I start to get freaked out about things. Is my action or inaction going to result in a dead body? If it doesn't result in a dead body, I have to stop freaking out. It's just a situation that I need to respond to and respond in as sober a way as I can in that moment. It's about picking up the bow and taking another shot at bullseye and trying to do better. It's not about being perfect. It's about striving to be better, striving to be closer to that ideal, striving to be content in the present moment. And content and acceptance doesn't mean I like it. It just means that's where I am. And they talk about, I've heard people refer to the steps as a map to living. And the thing is, every map is useless unless you know where you are on the map. And if you look at the map of your life, you know, when you go to a mall, there's a big red dot that says you are here. And that will give you direction of where you need to go. Because getting from where I am to where I need to be, I need direction, but I need to know where I am at the present moment. And that's the you are here spot. It's the present moment. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? What am I doing? How did I arrive at this location? I've let go of the question why, because for me, the question why is crazy making. It creates suffering within me. I've had to let go of why. And maybe you need to as well. I don't know. That's a question you need to ask and answer for yourself. But I know for myself, I get on the mental gerbil wheel. Why do I have depression? Why did I have the childhood I have? Why did my daughter die almost 30 years ago? Why? It's crazy making. I've let go of why. Letting go of why is not a one and done. It's about me catching myself. Oh, I'm asking why again. That's not helpful. It creates suffering within me. I have to stop asking why. Instead, I ask a different question. How? How did I arrive at this location? Or how do I live my life so that I can be content and reasonably serene? Let go of why. It doesn't do any good. And really, the question that I have to ask myself when I'm stuck in stinking thinking is this thought useful? Am I thinking something that's creating suffering or lessen suffering? If it's creating suffering, I have to stop doing it. Can I ask the question why? Sure, yeah, I can. It's a God-given ability. I can think and I can ask the question why, but is it useful? So you may be stuck in other thought patterns. Some of them lessen suffering and some of them create suffering. We all just need to stop doing the things that create suffering and start doing the things that lessen suffering. I need to get out of myself and engage myself with others and to be part of the world. And the seven deadly sins start off with pride. In my estimation, pride is not the problem. False pride is the problem. If I study hard on a topic and I take a test and I do well, I should be proud of myself because that's a worthy achievement. But if I've cheated or gotten the answers to the test, that's not something to be proud of. And false pride comes in two forms. The first form that we're all familiar with is positive self-pride, thinking that I'm better than everybody else. That's not true. There's a flip side to that, negative self-pride, thinking that I'm worse than everybody else. That's not true either. They're both false. One is positive and one is negative, but they're not the truth. The truth is I'm a beloved child of God, and I am worthy of love. I don't have to do anything to be worthy of God's love. It's there for me, free for the taking. I just need to accept it. God never turned his back on me. I turned my back on God. And I'm not saying any specific interpretation of what God is. It's just a word. That's all it is. Imagine you have to explain your house without using the words door, chair, table, rug, couch. You'd have to use a lot of words to describe your house. That's God. It's just a word. Whether you think of it as all-encompassing love, I can't put words to what God is. It's just a freaking word. It's a chair. It's a higher power. It's something outside of myself. So, you know, if you have a hang-up with a particular word, use a different word. Use higher power. A lot of people use the group as a higher power. It's something greater than the human capacity within me. Sorry, that's my dog. There must be a delivery truck outside. Oh no, it's a construction vehicle. That's even better with the back of beeps. Hold on one second. I'm going to yell. Luna, stop it. They get on a rant. Sorry about that. So I need to just accept things for what they are. I don't have to like them. I just need to accept them. I don't like the fact that I'm 60 pounds overweight, but I need to accept the fact that I am 60 pounds overweight. And it doesn't matter why I'm 60 pounds overweight. I just need to accept the fact that I am. And how do I live my life so I can be, I want to be different from what I am. So I'm going to have to do something different. And I'm sure all of you are sick and tired of being depressed. Some small element of your depression is self-inflicted. You may have a chemical imbalance. You know, there could be other things. It could be sunspots. It could be gremlins. I don't know what causes depression. I just know I experience it. And I know that there are things that I can do that will make my mood better. I can work the spiritual principles of the 12 steps. I can exercise. I can eat better. And for me, eat better is reduce a lot of sugar. It means eating a lot of vegetables, and I'm not particularly good at it. It's not always hitting bullseye. It's about picking up the bow and trying again. I need to do little tiny things together to have an impact on my mood. I have a metaphor for my depression, for the recovery from my depression, and it's politically incorrect, but it's a visual that works for me. Recovering from depression, for me, is like pushing a fat kid on a swing. I'm not going to get that kid up to speed with a single push. It's about pushing at the right time, telling the kid, pick up your feet, telling the kid, start pumping your legs. And if I stop paying attention to where I am, the kid's going to stop pumping his legs. He's going to drop his feet, and he's just going to be at the bottom of the swing, in the pit. But I do have a choice. I can do things differently. I just need to have the courage to do that thing. And yes, there is short-term pain and discomfort with doing the things that will get me better. But I need to focus on the long term. The long term thing that I'm looking for is to be reasonably happy and content with who I am. And we all have the ability to do the tiny things. Maybe we can't run a marathon right now, but maybe we can go outside to the end of the driveway and pick up the mail and not leave it there for 5 days. Maybe we can't go out and go to a party, but maybe I have the power within me to get up out of bed, shower, and move locations to the couch. Small things, taken together, have great impact. You don't have to do the I don't have to do the Herculean task right away. I need to start small and get some momentum going. And I will get better. And I'm pretty confident that's true for all of us here. We don't have to take that big step right away. We just need to start to get in motion and to start stepping away with baby steps from our depression. Get in the habit of asking yourself, myself, is this thought useful? And if it's not useful, I have to stop doing it. And it's not one and done. It's recognizing, oh, yeah, I'm doing this unuseful thought again. I got to stop doing it. Focus on something positive. Do something in service to others. Recovery is possible. I just need to be vigilant. I don't need to be perfectly vigilant. I just need to be aware. Step 10 says, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. The funny thing is, the longer that I'm in recovery, the more prompt becomes. It's like catching a snowball further up the hill. When it's at the bottom of the hill, it's gained so much mass and so much speed, I can't stop it. I have to catch the snowball further up the hill. And further up the hill, and further up the hill. Will I ever be able to stop the snowball from starting to roll down the hill? Probably not. But I may be able to catch it on the first revolution or two and stop it right then and there. Because my first thought is negative. I'm broken that way. But I accept that. I just need to be aware. And to quote my high school English teacher, be alert. We need more alerts. Sorry, he had a stupid sign in his room and I enjoyed it. I like puns. So I've been speaking for quite a long time. I'd like to leave some time for questions or feedback. Anyway, I think I'm done. Good luck, everybody, on your recovery. Thank you.